Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good. Good to hear it. Good to hear it. Well, I'm here to talk about victory in the blood, right? Victorious. We are victorious. So there's victory in the blood of Jesus, and by his blood, we are free from our sinful will. We are free from our painful past. So much we believe the lies that we ourselves tell us and the enemy tells us, that we are not free, that we are still in bondage. This series is about the blood of Christ and its validity for today. So not only is it valid for today, it's absolutely necessary component for living a victorious life. And why did I say component? Well, in our scripture, it states that we triumph by the blood and by the word of our testimony. You must have a profession of faith in partnership with the blood of Christ to live in this freedom. Not only just a profession of faith, but such a faith is to not fear death.
That's right.
That's a big deal. Philippians 1:21 through 23 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. So what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to be depart and be with Christ, which is far better indeed." Paul says to die is gain, right? Yeah. He had such a faith in the blood of Christ that he was willing to just wanted to be home with Jesus. When we finally die, we get to shed this flesh and be at one with Christ because of his blood. Because of his blood. Everything else is so insignificant, right? When we focus on the end game, right? The end game is just we get to be with him. All of this nonsense is over. You know, all this pain, all this is over. You know, so many times we cling to this life, and it's just like, but we have something so much greater for us. So not last week, Kelly spoke of the blood as it pertains in the Old Testament and kind of the cultural reasons and things like that attached to it. And today I'm going to talk about the blood as it is in the Gospels. Now, Jesus shed his blood on four different occasions in the Gospels. Each instant has a practical application for our lives. Now, these points were taken from the Ted Roberts book, Pure Desire. So first is at Gethsemane. Luke 22 through 39 through 46 says, Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. So as Jesus went out as usual on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw behind them, knelt down and prayed. He said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." This situation is so filled with intensity. It's such an intense, just the whole picture of it. Jesus praying, knowing what's going to happen. Praying for God. He's like, "God, please, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to go through this. But not my will. Your will. Not my will, but your will." And then the disciples they've fallen asleep because they're exhausted from sorrow. I remember growing up, I heard that. I thought they were just lazy and they fall asleep. But they fell asleep because they were so filled with sorrow. Having an idea, they didn't really know what was going on, but they knew something bad was going to be happening. Now, sweating blood is something that can actually happen in a stress when you're very, very stressed. Under the most stress possible, you can actually bleed while sweating. So that's how much stress he was under. So much stress. He was in the battle with his own flesh. as we do. We battle with our flesh and our will. He's all God and all man, and he's battling with that. He's battling with that because the man part of him is like, I don't want to die. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to go through this. And the all God of him is like, this has to be done. In order for salvation to come to the world, this has to be done. And he's battling with this. So what does he do? He asks God. He asks God to help him with his will. Please help me. Not my will, but yours be done. So what does God do? He comes and he strengthens him. He sends an angel to strengthen him. Jesus is demonstrating how we must live our lives in every decision. We come before him and we bring our things that we want, and then we yield it to the will of God. In everything we should do, that's how we should be behaving. And this is what Jesus is doing. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. There lies the problem, right? Not my will. That's the problem. That's the problem we battle with. Every time I get something in my mind or in my heart, there's always my will or my need there. Even if part of my heart is right, there's always my will. There's always me there. I always have to go, okay, God, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. It's such a simple thing, like a concept is simple, but it's so hard. We want our way. We want our way so much, so much. Because God gave us this amazing thing, our will, right? Because he wanted us to choose him. He didn't want a bunch of robots that we just had to serve him. He wanted us to choose him. He gave us this option, this will. But the beautiful thing about the will is when it's yielded to God, when it's yielded to his, they become one. And then you doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be doing what God's heart wants. But I think some parts, this is where we kind of get confused though. And I know I get confused in this area. Is when we submit our will to God, we kind of feel like we have to get our will in check and then we go to God. Right? We have to like, okay, I'm going to get all this in check and then we're going to go to God. But you're still in control, right? When you're doing that. But God is saying, bring it all to me immediately and then we'll be able to yield it together. Because this is why I think we misunderstood lead. So we submit to the Spirit of God and not to the flesh when we're led by the Spirit. So I think we misunderstand lead. We tend to think of God as leading us like the pace car in Daytona 500, right? You got the pace car in front and the cars behind are like, ooh, you know, all their power and all their strength behind that car, you know, and that pace car's right here. That's how I think of it a lot of times. Is God leading me? Okay, God, here we go. But it's not that way. It's supposed to be more like God is the engine and we're the caboose. We're just attached to the knee, you know? That's what it's supposed to be like. Not, because that's what I know I do that all the time. But I'm following God. Yeah, but on your own power. That's why everything gets messed up. That's why Jesus, being Jesus, says, not my will, but yours be done. He wants to be led by the Spirit of God in every decision and everything that he does. And that's what we needed to be doing in our life. The beautiful thing about it, though, is you can ask God to help you submit your will. Because I can't do it by myself, because I'm always going to give in to me. But if I ask God, help me, come alongside me, help, let's tackle this thing together. Because even Jesus couldn't do it without God. Who do we think we are? The other thing is, I wish the surrender to the will of God was a one-time thing. Like, you know, when you're like a little kid and you're going to jump off this cliff into the water, you know, I'm submitted, it's over. No, it's an every minute, day to day, all the time thing you have to do. Because the little me is like, hello, I want my way again. All the time. And it's so frustrating because even like the heart of it is good. Like, I want to help people, but it's like, but I want to be important. And like, you know, it's just always a little bit of hello, I'm here. And we need the God to come and help us harness that will. So it's a thing we have to do all the time, constantly. You have to die to yourself every second of every day. But I promise you, the more you do it, that little me will become smaller and smaller and smaller. It will. When you first do it, it's like, hello, I want my way. And they're like, no. And God helps us and makes, hello, I want my way. And then before I know, hello, I want my way. It's a little, right? It'll become smaller, smaller, smaller. The more that you do it, the more that you stay in line with God, the more that you have a relationship with God, the more it's going to be like a caboose. The more you're going to be like that caboose. Just align with God, going along the plan, doing exactly what God is doing, powered only by him, not by yourself. So today, if you're feeling like you're going it alone, you feel like you have just, you just can't quite get it together. Your little me has gotten way too much of its way. We're going to make opportunity for you to come up and pray about that because God is here to help. He does. He wants to help. He's right here. He's like, hey, I'm here to help. I'm here to give you my spirit, to give you my power, to give you my heart. And take all that other stuff away. I'm here to do that. And I'm going to encourage you to come up and pray for that at the end of this message. Now, we know we can ask God to battle our sinful will so we can live a victorious life. We know that. But do those of you who struggle with pain of your past or your trauma struggle with that? And almost like, how do you get over that? How do you move past that? Because you're not really responsible for that thing that happened to you or those things that happened to you. How do you overcome that? How do you move forward from that? The beautiful thing is Jesus can fully identify and help us overcome our trauma. Those painful experiences that were shoved into our lives and our thinking processes like a crown of thorns. When we realize Jesus' blood was shed so that we do not have to be trapped in our past traumatic experiences, we will begin to experience indescribable freedom. The crown of thorns, Matthew 27:28-29, says they stripped him, they put a scarlet robe on him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, they knelt in front of him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. So many of us have gone through unspeakable terrors that have influenced our lives in traumatic ways and have caused immense suffering to this day. These horrible things happen to us because sin exists in the world. That's why these things happen in our lives, because sin exists in this world. The weird thing is I use this word trauma. Now, trauma is an overused word today. People use the word trauma when they get cut off while driving or their coffee's not made right. I'm traumatized. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the stuff that wakes you up in the middle of the night, that stuff that just hangs on to you, that has those interrupted emotional disturbances of the day. That's the stuff I'm talking about. That's the stuff that God wants to give you victory over. Many times these traumatic events, even the ones long ago, are still the root reason for your behaviors today. Most of our behaviors are sinful behaviors. These things that we do are our coping mechanisms to try to deal with these things that happen in our life. And we'll continue to deal that way until we give that pain, that trauma over to God. Now, just like when I got clean from meth and heroin back 14 years ago, I gained 100 pounds. Because what would happen? I dealt with one issue, but I didn't deal with the root issue. The root issue was trauma and pain that I hadn't given over to God yet. I hadn't let God into the scary places in my life. I wasn't ready to face them. I wasn't ready to expose that shame. So I just replaced one addiction for the next. And that's what we do so often in our lives. So often in our lives. We overeat. We have sex addiction. We have alcohol addiction, drug addiction, because of things that might have happened in our past that we are just not ready to let go of. Not ready to face. Because they're too ugly and they're too scary. Now, I had surrendered my life to Christ, and I had going, God, I don't want to be a drug addict anymore. I don't want to do these things, but I still hadn't surrendered this part to me. I wasn't living a fully surrendered life yet. I didn't trust him. Now, have you ever shared some pain with somebody that has never come close to experiencing that kind of pain, and they just kind of look at you with a blank face? You're like, I just overshared. I just overshared. But the amazing thing about Jesus is he completely empathizes with you. Completely. Because of his blood that was shed, he has experienced trauma. He has experienced humiliation. He has experienced racial bias. He's experienced poverty. He's experienced hunger. He's experienced homelessness. He's experienced betrayal from his family, from his best friends. He's experienced it all. So it's much easier to share with somebody that you know understands. You know, you ever have a conversation with somebody who's gone through the same kind of pain as you, and you're like, man, you get it. You understand. You've been through that same darkness as I have. And Jesus understands that. Because of his blood, because of his shed blood, he understands that so that you can give those things over to him. So this is why you got to surrender this pain to God. Because if you don't, you're going to keep falling into these other behaviors. And you might get rid of one behavior, but another one's going to pop up. It's just going to happen. You're just going to play juggling coping behaviors until you deal with the root issue. Whatever that might be. Here it is again. You must surrender to have victory. You must surrender to have victory. That is backwards from what the world says. Right? The world is fight, 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 fight. Go for all for yourself and you're going to win. No, we must surrender to have victory. That is the only way we're going to have a victorious life. Now you might want to ask, why do we hold on to this pain? A lot of times people will walk around with this pain and suffering all of their life, knowing it's there and avoiding it or it's part of their identity. There's all kinds of reasons, but I want to say because pain is a way for the body to communicate something needs to be dealt with, right? That's what pain is. That's what it's done. If you have a broken leg, your leg is broken. It's like, okay, you have to fix this leg. It's in pain. The same thing with emotional pain. There's pain there and it needs to be dealt with. And a lot of times we deal with it in wrong ways. We distract ourselves. We have addictions, whatever it might be, but we try to deal with that pain. But God and his blood needs to deal with that pain. He's the one that needs to deal with that pain. And so the other thing is it needs to be dealt with. And I think the other part is we carry it around because it needs to be recognized. It needs to be recognized. And I also think that it's because if something's been wrongly done to you, you have an innate need for justice. You have an innate need for justice so bad. Like even when you're a little kid, we all kind of know our right from wrong. You have a little 2-year-old and you take something from them and they're like, it's not fair, right? We just know. We have this innate knowing inside of us that it's not fair. Well, I think that we carry our pain inside of us because we know something wrong has happened and we need somebody to pay for it. And I think sometimes we make ourselves pay for it. Somebody's going to feel this pain. Somebody's going to pay for this. It might as well be me because I don't know what else I'm going to do with it. So we hold on to it and we try to deal with it or avoid it. But somebody has to pay. And this is where the blood of Christ comes in so very important. God has put that innate knowing of justice in you because God is a just God. He is a just God. That is why Jesus had to die on the cross to pay the payment for sin so that you would have something to do with that pain because that pain, that thing that's been done to you, that was paid for. Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for whoever hurt you, whatever happened, he paid for that. It's been paid for. God has paid for that. So we can let go of our pain and forgive those who've wronged us because God demands justice. It says Romans 12:19 says, do not avenge yourself, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. He paid the price on the cross. For those that have wronged you, for your sin, you do not have to hold on to that pain because it has been dealt with on the cross. It has been dealt with on the cross. So contrary to the understanding of the rest of the world, we must surrender to the will of God by the blood of Christ to achieve victory. If you desire a victory in your life today, all you have to do is ask God for help. Tell him you're tired of doing it yourself and that you need him. You can wave your white flag. In the Roman Empire, they would wave a white flag of surrender. Before that time, they would hold their shield above their heads to indicate surrender. But we can wave our white flag. Wave our white flag and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't harness my will anymore. I can't handle this trauma in my life anymore. I'm too afraid to face it on my own. I'm too afraid of who I am without it. I need your help. Wave that flag over your head. Wave that flag over your heart. Wave that flag over your spirit. And he will come and rescue you. He will come and rescue you. He is just standing there waiting for you. He's standing there waiting for you. Waiting for you to wave that flag. He wants to carry those burdens for you. He wants to go in to those scary places that you're afraid to face on your own. He wants to just grab you up and carry you and walk through that pain and hear those things and heal those parts of your heart and give you the justice that you deserve. There's been some horrible things that have happened to people in this room that are unspeakable. But God is there to come and comfort you and walk you through those moments. He wants to stitch that heart of yours so that you stop doing all these behaviors all over the place. That everything would stop because you deal with the root issue. I have this window in my house. And it has mold. It gets mold all the time. And so I go and I clean the mold. So I surrender the mold to the bleach and I wipe the mold out, right? But what the problem is this window is, the seal is broken. And so moisture gets in. And I'm going to have to surrender this mold over and over and over and over to the bleach until I fix the seal in this window. And that is what our life is like. So many times we're just like, God, please help me stop overeating, wiping the mold. But God wants to go, what about this horrible thing? These things that you need to come and give to me. You might have been molested as a child. You might have had horrible parentage. You might have had a traumatic event happen to you. God wants to go to those moments. He wants to give you justice for those moments. And heal those places in your heart so that you can walk a free person, victorious person. That his glory will be shown through your life because of the blood of Christ. Without him dying on the cross, we would not be able to receive our justice. Without him dying on the cross, we would not understand our pain. It is so important and it's so valid for today. So today, if you're aware of this pain that keeps you in bondage, I encourage you to let it go and allow God to serve his vengeance for you and accept the payment that was made on the cross. Jesus not only died for you, but he died for the ones who wronged you. It's been paid for. He died for the ones that wronged you. Because God is such a God of justice. He's such a God of justice. You can forgive because God is going to provide your justice. He will provide your justice. So as the band plays, I want to make a place for you to come up and pray. And there's two questions I want to ask yourself as you're sitting here preparing, as a team is preparing. It says, am I letting God lead me or am I being led by the flesh? Am I like the Daytona 500 car? Or am I like the caboose? And if you're like, man, I'm the Daytona 5, I'm running on my own power, I encourage you to come up forward for prayer and just come and surrender your will to God, and he will help you do that. Even if you have just a little inkling, like, God, I can't take on me anymore. I need your help to take me on. God will help you. He will come alongside you and he will give you his spirit, his heart, his mind. How much better than our own? And second thing is there pain or trauma in your life that you need to give over to God so that you can forgive and that you could accept God's justice that was paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ? I would encourage you to come forward. And there might be things that you might not be unaware of. If you have having issues with addictions and you just can't quite get your hand on it, I would want to encourage you, there might be something in your life that God needs to reveal to you. He did that in my own life, like 2 years ago. And everything made sense. Everything made sense. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what started the whole thing. And God has been healing my life and healing my heart over that situation. And if there's something like that in your life that God needs to reveal to you, I pray that he does that today. So I'm going to encourage you to come forward. I'll make myself available for prayer. Pastor Tony will make himself available for prayer as well. I'm just going to pray real quick, as I just feel like we need to. Heavenly Father, God, as if there's things in our lives that we need to give over to you, I pray that you would just reveal those to us right now, God. God, if there's parts of my life that I keep trying to have my own way, please reveal those to me that I can surrender those to you. And God, if there's pain in my life that I'm holding on to for various reasons, God, I pray that you would reveal that to me. Give me the courage to ask for help. And I pray that you would heal that today. In Jesus' name, amen.